We use a lot of hyperbolic language in this channel. I don't want to oversaturate you all with it, but $300 a barrel crude would be pretty apocalyptic. It would be pretty bad. It'd be pretty bad. We're in the fun zone again. The world's most important price for real-world oil barrels surged above $140 on Thursday, the highest since 2008. Since Trump's little stunt last night, oil has been absolutely surging. Not just the futures, but especially the physical market, which is really, really running up there, you know? The Trump administration has been able to use financial trickery to keep the predicted oil futures market price down, at least for a time, but the dated Brent oil index is how much oil costs to buy right now. It is the physical price of oil, detached from financial nonsense. It is just what people are buying, at what price, at this moment, physically. And as you can see, it's pretty consistently climbed up, and we passed 141 today, which is, you know, a lot. The futures hit $114 this morning. Yeah, both the financial and non-financial markets are going up right now. Why are the futures so much lower? Shorting the cost of oil, mostly. People are betting on this whole situation resolving itself before the oil shock really hits the United States, which is delusional. Absolutely delusional. But the market is delusional and always has been. Ooh, it's really gonna. This last spike right here is the Trump speech, the Trump speech effect, where he did an all-hands broadcast to the nation where he essentially said nothing except, "Lamau, the war is continuing. We have no plans." Unlike dated Brent, benchmark Brent futures traded on Intercontinental Exchange Incorporated are still lower than 2022 levels. People are betting. Crude oil. Yeah, man. Oh, it's even higher than Brent now. Yeah, hold on one second. Yeah, even crude oil futures right now are at 111. They've gone up 11% in the past day. That's fucking crazy. Oh man, Brent and WTI crude, they're both going up. See, WTI crude's up at 111. That is very, very high. This spike right here is because of Trump's speech. You know, that shit does not look good in Excel. That shit does not look good on paper. Me, when the oil police show up and print out my futures projection tweets and lay them on my kitchen counter, ooh, that does not look good on paper. I don't like that one. Brent crude is depreciated right now because for some fucking reason, I'm assuming this was like a massive short position taken when the president of Iran had an unconfirmed phone call where he reiterated positions that Iran had already made clear a month ago. For some reason, Brent futures went down $15 overnight. Why? I assume it's because everyone on Earth except for me is a machine built to test my patience. Completely irrational market behavior, has nothing to do with reality. Moon logic, it's a joke, everything's a joke, life isn't real, etc., etc. But it is going back up, and the big spike here, of course, was Trump's speech, which everyone was so impressed by. Canceled UK flights already due to an aviation gas shortage. Yep. Yes, sir. I'm dating a trader girl right now, and since like a week or two ago, she's been saying that oil's the new shitcoin. Dating a trader girl and shit-talking Western wear at the end of last stream, Kizuwadi. You're on thin ice. That's two strikes. Largest Iran bridge destroyed by Israel. Yep. Be like if they bombed the Golden Gate Bridge. It was like, wasn't it? It's like the tallest bridge in all of East Asia, and we bombed it for funsies. They should do that. Bomb the Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah. They're so fucking evil, man. By they, you mean America, right? Or Israel, America, Israel, same country, really. Not anymore. Well, it's still kind of the tallest bridge because the tallest part of it right here is still up. Seems Trump's just blaming all the women in his cabinet for everything bad. Didn't I just do that? Maybe he can't tell the difference between the pink dots either. Think of all the effects of increased oil prices in the U.S. I think people will start taking Amtrak more often. You know, I saw the very good Twitter account, the Kabaisi letter, post this. I thought it was very illustrative. The near perfect correlation between U.S. oil prices and the U.S. CPI inflation index, which, as you can see, no music, right? No music, thank God. And as you can see, if you take a look at the relationship between these two over time, there's actually a very strong correlation between crude oil prices and the inflation index. To what extent this is correlative and to what extent this is causative, it varies depending on the situation. But as you can see, this is the point we're at right now, where the US CPI, which only gets updated once a month, is paused right here at 2.4%, and this is what this is what the crude oil price has done. So if you want to interpret from this some kind of increase in inflation impending, what's US CPI? It's the inflation rate. It's how much inflation there is, you know. It's the inflation rate is an estimate of how much everything is going to cost more over the course of a year based on like a monthly analysis. So if the US CPI is at 8% 1 month, what it's saying is if inflation continues at this rate, at the rate that it's doing in this month, over the course of 1 year, all prices will have raised by 8%. Or not all prices, but like the average consumer price index will have raised by 8%. It's like it's a rolling average of the past month of data spread across a year. CPI is going to jump straight up to 20%. I mean, right now, the last time crude oil prices were this high, we did in fact hit like 8-9% over here. So I mean, we'll see how it goes. Rip my mortgage. Yep. Is it time for me to sell my diesel car? It wouldn't be a bad time to get a bicycle, yeah. And crude did not go up that high or that fast. Well, there is still a very real possibility that WTI hits like $200 a barrel, in which case we'll be in the funny zone, you know? Like, we don't really have a historical precedent. Is it a bad time to own a Humvee? I mean, at least you'll be stimulating the economy. Is the US bicycle friendly? No, but you will get like jacked thighs, for sure. Get an e-bike. Good time to invest in VGG gifted subs. That's fucking true. Is $300 possible? I mean, anything's possible, yeah, but that would be pretty unlikely. $300 would be, we use a lot of hyperbolic language in this channel. I don't want to oversaturate you all with it, but $300 a barrel crude would be pretty apocalyptic. It would be pretty bad. It'd be pretty bad, you know? The world has only gotten more reliant on oil, natural gas, and all of its petroleum-derived byproducts over the past 50 years. There was quite an oil squeeze back during the gas crisis in the 70s, the two of them, but like back then we weren't as reliant on the petroleum derivative industry that we are now. We use so much plastic. Yeah, you know, fertilizer, stuff like that. Urea, phosphates. The oil crisis in the 70s was also orchestrated by OPEC. Yeah, I think we need to keep in mind that when oil spikes for a prolonged time, we're going to see the global economy shrink, and that will drive prices down in response. I actually disagree. The problem is that like the global economy can't really contract like that anymore. It's too big. It's too complicated. I think like the contraction of the global economy would be this. There's an incentive for people producing oil to not stop because it's very costly to stop the production at an oil field. They've had to do that in many places in the Middle East because, you know, the strikes from Iran. I don't think the market is able to keep up with price whiplashes like this, you know? I don't think the economy is managed enough. It's too distributed. It's too, it's too, like, multifaceted. What the hell did he just say? GOP Iran worries build after Trump speech? Not sure people will buy the strong economy part, said Ton Gilman, a Michigan GOP district chair. Inflation is definitely more under control than it was under Biden, but the prices haven't come down yet on a lot of things. Do you think we will ever live to see a point in time where politicians stop pretending that prices can come down? The only thing prices come down for potentially is gas, and that's because oil producers literally can't stop the flow of oil. So the price is very directly correlated to the supply-demand curve. With everything else in our lifetime, things have only ever gotten more expensive. Yeah, except for TVs, I guess. Prices go up or they don't. They don't really come down.
As we've been alluding to, they are interpreting President Trump's speech as not being a very clear commitment to ending this war soon, which had started to be the interpretation over the last couple of days, not least because he was making an address live from the White House and how that was the first time he's doing that during the course of this war. So here is a chart of oil prices since just before the start of the war. So you can see where we began at the end of February, down in the sort of $60 a barrel level. Well, this morning we're at 108, 107, and up a further 7% overnight off the back of that speech. So that's the size of the reaction to his speech. So
you know, I'm not seeing much media coverage yet for the dated Brent crude oil price. I wonder why. I guess like the money men that run the markets don't really want you talking about the physical price. They just want you talking about the speculated price.
Well, that really big fall earlier in the week when he was alluding to suggesting we might be finding an end to this war and announcing that he was going to do a speech from the White House, and we've unwound about half of that to be back to about 107. And you get quite a good snapshot of these moments over the course of this war where markets start to hope that we're going to have an off-ramp, and then that hope slips away quite quickly.
Slips away. CNBC, tell me about the world.
My next guest says the president's pledge that he will not leave allies in the Middle East stranded indicates that this war will be longer than expected. And the energy markets are now readjusting to that reality, as Pippa also laid out for us. Joining me now is Amrita Sen, founder and director of Market Intelligence at Energy Aspects. And Amrita, you agree with that notion?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I agree with everything Pippa said. We chat quite a bit. And the reality of what is going on in the physical market is actually the kind of the real supply-demand balance right now. I mean, you have dated Brent today, which is the physical marker for what I would say is a global benchmark, trading at over $140, near record high level.
There we go, the physical benchmark. Somebody's mentioning it.
Even though the futures market is much more subdued at 110. What I will say is that when you...
Much more subdued at 110. Keep in mind, 110 is still more than double what it was 1 month ago.
Looking at the screen, the price you guys are showing, the price everybody's seeing, it's almost giving us a false sense of security that things are not that stressed. But if you look at the actual price at which refiners and producers are transacting, and then what's translating to products prices, diesel in Europe is almost $200 per barrel today. If you look at the national average price of diesel...
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
...in the U.S., it's really close to hitting record all-time highs. So you are seeing it. It's just that it's the financial market is almost masking the true tightness that everywhere else is showing up.
Huh. Is it masking it? Does it typically lag? And how would you also characterize...
My friend works in agriculture here in Brazil. Fertilizer companies are in panic because there are only two ships arriving with no forecast for additional shipments in the future. Brazil is one of the largest food producers in the world and is completely dependent on imported fertilizers. Yeah, no, the price of food is going to spike. It's going to be really bad. Worst case scenario from all of this is that the collapse of the international fertilizer trade is going to cause like a mass famine somewhere in the world or multiple places in the world sometime in the coming winter, you know, because crop yields are going to go down.
Rise what the forward curve looks like as well. Do you think that's appropriately reflective of the longstanding issues we may see in terms of energy prices?
I hope it's North Dakota.
Well, great question. And I mean, we've been debating this. We've never seen the
carefully orchestrating a global fertilizer crisis such that famine touches not East Africa or Southeast Asia, but exclusively the like Great Plains of America, the greatest food producing region of the planet, basically. Very targeted. Maybe you should have been producing food and not like a fucking, you know, feed for cattle.
The market and the physical market disconnect for so long. Ultimately, they have to coincide, but maybe, you know, it's only at the time of expiry of a contract because that's when the two meet. There's been a lot of intervention. You know, there's been kind of the volatility in the market has just made a lot of people take off positions. They're just not able to hold. They've had to stop out. We've seen, you know, measures by lots of different governments trying to talk the price down or kind of intervene in different ways directly or indirectly. And I think that's what's creating these distortions. You talk about the back end of the curve. It is fascinating to see how the front is absolutely soaring and the back is actually down. Yes, there's been some producer hedging, but I also think people are not really reflecting the fact that what we've been saying, whatever the new normal looks like will just not be the same as the old status quo, right? So we are going to have a higher floor for oil prices, minimum $70 to $80, probably closer to $100, given everything that's going on. We don't even...
Maybe. That might be optimistic. I mean, a floor when? A year from now?
Know the extent of the damages, like Pippa was saying. So we haven't seen that yet. Now, a lot of people will say to me, that's the trade after the trade, right? At some point, whenever there is peace, we will see a pullback first. That is true. But after that happens, we will see that back end of the curve go up.
Iran has been essentially decimated. The hard part is done, so it should be easy. And in any event, when this conflict is over, the strait will open up naturally. It'll just open up naturally. They're going to want to be able to sell oil because that's all they have to try and rebuild. It will resume the flowing and the gas prices will rapidly come back down. Stock prices will rapidly go back up.
President Trump last night saying the Strait of Hormuz will open up naturally when the war with Iran is over. That comes as more than 30 countries will meet virtually today to discuss ways to get heavy traffic moving again through the strait. The meeting will be chaired by the UK's foreign secretary. The United States will not attend. Let's bring...
God, it's so fucking funny. Goodbye, Pax Americana.
Bring in former Treasury official and Morning Joe economic analyst Steve Rattner with charts on the importance of that key waterway and the other economic impacts of the war. Steve, let's start with the Strait of Hormuz. Does it just open up naturally?
I don't honestly see how, Mika. Look, I think of all the things the president said last night, that was one of the most incredible. You brought in Dr. Brzezinski earlier in the show. Let me bring in Colin Powell's doctrine, the Pottery Barn doctrine, which is if you break it, you own it. We broke it. We should own it. And the idea that we're just going to go leave and let the Europeans somehow figure out the Strait of Hormuz is really ridiculous. So let's, as a reminder, as you say, talk about how important the Strait of Hormuz is. 20% of the world's oil passes through the Strait of Hormuz. 20% of the oil. And you can, and of course, these are countries that are familiar to people, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, the United Arab Emirates, Iran, Kuwait, and Qatar, all depend on the strait. There are a couple of pipelines that get a little bit of the oil out of there, but virtually all of it has to pass through the strait. We have.
It'd be really nice if the liberal half of mainstream media would discuss the fact that a significant number of Republicans don't care what happens to oil prices because they think the world is ending soon. That'd be nice. Wait, can you explain to me why you're screaming? You're being very distracting. Can you explain? You know I'm trying to do a segment on oil prices, right? You don't know anything about oil. You don't know. You don't know. You've only been in a car a couple of times, and it's when you have to go to the vet, and you don't like that. I played with you this morning. I played with you last night. I give you the food. You lick your paw. You know you're fine. You know you're fine. What are you doing? Play now. But I'm streaming. Anyway, the point, I guess, of all this is that oil is up, and it's bad.